Amen. If you have your Bibles with you or your devices or whatever you use for that purpose, just turn to Romans chapter 10. I'm going to start with a scripture today that we've heard many, many times. So don't say, oh, no, not that again. Praise God. But I'm going to interpret it slightly different than we've heard it before. Now, it's a great scripture, and it's got a lot of great meaning to it, but I'm going to interpret it slightly differently as we listen to it. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, we know this scripture. It says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, we've used that scripture quite a few times over the years, talking about how faith comes to us through hearing the word. But I want to emphasize another point about that particular scripture right there. I'm going to say it this way. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. Hearing comes by the word of God. See the difference? Faith comes by the word of God because the ability to hear God comes from the word of God. The ability to hear God's voice comes from the word of God. The ability to hear God. Is that a good thing? Is it a good thing to be able to hear the voice of the Lord? Amen. How many are candidates for that? I am. Praise God. So, it's probably a good thing. All of us probably want that, I assume. But I'm going to continue to talk just a little bit more about what I was talking about the last several messages, in case you missed it. Hallelujah. And it's so simple that we're almost tempted to just dismiss it out of hand. You know, there couldn't be anything to that. It's too simple, brother. That's just too simple. Nah, couldn't be anything to that. Let's go on to something complicated. Praise God. Or maybe there's actually more to it than meets the eye. More to it than we see at first. I believe there is a lot more to it than what we see. But I'm going to preach it a little bit more. Praise God. Because it's been a progressive revelation to me for the last 3 or 4 months now. I've been getting this stuff, and it has evolved as I've continued with it. How many know that revelation of the Word is progressive? Does that make sense? The revelation that we have of the Word is progressive. We don't get it all at once. The Word is like a seed sown, and it brings forth understanding over time. Remember the parable of the sower. Everybody remember the parable of the sower. I know you've read it or heard it preached many times over the years. It's a fairly long parable to read through, so let me just give you the short version, and then we'll look at another verse, another scripture passage. Jesus said that a sower went forth and sowed, and some of the seeds fell by the wayside and were trampled underfoot, you remember. Some fell on stony ground and ended up drying up because they didn't have enough earth. And some of the seeds fell among thorns and were choked because it was just too much other stuff growing around it. But some fell on good ground and sprouted and grew up and brought forth a harvest. Some a little bit, some a little bit more, and some a whole lot. 30, 60, and 100 fold. So what was he talking about here? Well, they didn't know what he was talking about, so they asked him about it a little bit later. And he explained to them, his disciples, that the seed is the word of God. The seed is the word of God. And the ground it was sowed on is the heart of the one who hears it. Seeds are being sown and hearts are receiving that seed. And the earth, that is the earth, would the heart, the human heart, would bring forth a harvest over time if the seed was not hindered by certain things like hardness of heart or the cares of this world or the lust of other things, the desires of other things coming in and choking the word. It was all symbolic of these things and so forth. A harvest of what? A harvest of understanding and revelation of the Word, and a harvest of whatever that Word was sent to produce. God said way back in Isaiah, so is my Word that goeth forth from my mouth. It will not return unto me, but will accomplish that for which I sent it. In other words, His Word was sent to produce something, to accomplish something. And he says, it'll not return to me empty. It's going to do what it was supposed to do. And so the Word of God sown in our heart will produce a harvest in our life over time if unhindered. Then Jesus gave another short parable similar to that, but it has the same things in it, the seed and the ground and so forth. In Mark chapter 4, verse 26, Jesus said, so is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground, or that is, should sow word into his heart, or in the hearts of people. Verse 27, and should sleep and rise night and day. See, it's not instantaneous. It doesn't happen immediately. There's a process of time. And the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how. The farmer doesn't know how it works. He just knows if he puts the seed in the ground, it's going to grow. I mean, he doesn't understand the ins and outs of it. He just needs to sow that seed. For the earth, remember the earth was the human heart, the spirit of a person, brings forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full ear, or the full corn in the ear. See, the earth, the heart, produces it if the seed is in there. You got to have seed first, but the heart will produce something if the seed's in there. And but when the fruit is come, when the fruit is brought forth, verse 29, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest is come. He just knows he has a result. He doesn't know how it happened. He just did what he knew to do. He sowed the seed in the ground, and over time something became of it. And that is a picture of how a revelation of the Word of God works in us. We're talking about hearing the Word of God, sowing it into our heart, and reaping a benefit from it, receiving a harvest from the seed sown. And I remember hearing a message many, many years ago, back in the early 80s. I heard a cassette tape. We had tapes back in those days. And the message was about how praying in the Spirit, or praying in other tongues, is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. It's from Isaiah chapter 28, verse 12, if you want to look that up sometimes. He said, this is the rest wherewith ye shall cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, but for all this they would not hear, with stammering lips and another tongue and so forth. Anyway, I heard this message. I really liked it. It sounded good. I didn't really understand it. I said, that sounds really good. I like the way that sounds. And I didn't really understand it, but it sounded good. And then about 6 months later, I think in the fall of the year, 1983, I've told you about this before, I was praying in tongues on a beautiful fall day, and I discovered the revelation that speaking in tongues is the rest that the Lord has given us. Amen. Praise God. I suddenly discovered it. Hallelujah. It was a revelation to me. It became real to me. I discovered it firsthand, but the seed had been sown in my heart 6 months earlier through the message I'd heard. I finally realized, hey, I heard somebody preach that one time, and then I remembered who it was. But see, it didn't really mean a lot to me at the moment, but after time, as the Lord worked it in my heart, it began to mean something. I received the benefit of that revelation. And that's how the Word works in us, as we receive it and keep it. As we receive it and keep it. Now, see, sometimes what we hear from the Word today may not become clear to us for weeks or months. So y'all will probably get this about October. It'll dawn on you what I'm talking about today. Hallelujah. Okay, so this is a message I've been talking about for a while. And I'll tell you what the message is in a minute in case you missed it. Well, it started out back in February when Jenny and I had COVID-19. And I got to listening to scriptures on healing scriptures. And in 2 days, that thing was gone. I mean, I progressively felt it leaving. And it was a revelation to me that you can be healed by listening to healing scriptures. Okay? That was the revelation I had back in February. And that's a pretty simple message, right? You can be healed by listening to healing scriptures from the Bible. That's where it all started. If that is true, that we can actually get healed by listening to healing scriptures, and I wholeheartedly believe it's true, then you'd have to agree that's an amazing message, right? Is that a good message? Is that anything to that?
Brother, nothing to that, brother.
Well, I'm telling you, what planet did you fly in from? Or what planet did I fly in from anyway? So, if that's true that we can do that, then it's an awesome revelation. I thought it was. But I said revelation is progressive. As I continued to think about that, see, I was kind of amazed and intrigued by that. And I'm the one who has to, I have to figure out how this works. Well, you know, you don't have to, because usually figuring out how it works makes it not work. But anyway, I just kept on thinking about it. And I put some thought into it. I have put some thought into it. And it expanded something a little bit bigger. It wasn't just about getting healed. It was about receiving anything God has promised in His Word, including healing. Because everything He promises in His Word is received by what? Faith. Praise God. And faith comes by how? Hearing. So if everything God has comes by faith, then it has to come by hearing, because faith comes by hearing. We've got to hear something first. We've got to hear something before we can have faith. Now, His promises are received by faith. Now, what are we talking about here? We're talking about hearing the Word. And so I shared some things along that line. I think I had a message about how faith overcomes the world, maybe in March or so. And it was based on this idea that our faith in the Word of God overcomes everything the world brings our way. Then after thinking about it a little bit more, okay, I brought another message last week called Hearken to His Voice, based on Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. And I'll just read it real quickly to refresh your memories and for those who haven't heard it before. Exodus 15, 26, and the Lord said to Moses, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in His sight, and will give ear to His commandments, and keep all His statutes, I will permit none of these diseases upon thee, which I have permitted upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee." See, my message had previously been about listening attentively to the Word of God through recordings of Scriptures on specific subjects, such as healing. And when I came across this verse about diligently hearkening, I thought, yes, there is something to this thing about listening to Scriptures. Praise God. It's a way of diligently hearkening to the Word. It just means listening. And as I studied that verse, I noticed that God told them to hearken diligently unto what? The voice of the Lord thy God. The voice of the Lord thy God. Well, did Israel hear the voice of the Lord their God? Did they hear God talk to them? They did on Mount Sinai, but they didn't want that after they heard Him one time. They said, "We're going to die if we hear that voice anymore." And so they said, "Moses, would you just go talk with God, write down what He says, and we'll do it." Praise God. So the word they had, the voice of the Lord they had, was the word that was given to Moses on Mount Sinai. He wrote it down, and this was the word they had. This was the voice of the Lord to them. And then my lightning fast brain connected the dots. If the voice of the Lord their God was the written word Moses gave them, then the voice of the Lord our God for us is the written word that's been recorded and passed down to us. The Bible. Both the Old Testament and New, whatever's in it, it was Holy Spirit inspired. It was the Word of God recorded so that generations later could have it. And so I connected the dots that the Word of God is the voice of the Lord for us. Okay. One of the most important points of my message last week was that we hear the voice of the Lord through His Word. And when God speaks to us, when we hear His voice, things happen. Are you still with me? Are you going to lunch? Praise God. I think you're still with me. I hear the gears turning. When we hear the voice, when the Lord speaks to us, things happen. If I look back to me listening to those scriptures on healing, see, the Lord spoke to me through that. He said, it's my will that you be healed. And I am with you, and I'm going to strengthen you, and I'm going to heal you. Because these scriptures were telling me that. And I was hearing the voice of God through it. And things happen. See, we used Sarah as the example last week. Sarah did not believe she could have a child in her old age. You know, the whole thing with Hagar and Ishmael was because of that. But when the Lord spoke to her, when she recognized that God was saying, yes, it's going to happen. Remember, why did Sarah laugh? Does she think this is too hard for me? This time next year I'll return and Sarah shall have a child. That was a rebuke. And she said, no, I didn't laugh. Yes, you did. You laughed. But from that point on, she began to receive strength. By faith, Hebrews says, by faith she received strength to conceive seed and to bear a child in her old age. Why the difference? Because God had spoken to her. God had spoken to Abraham many times, but he had never spoken to Sarah. But when God said something to her, it caught her. It got her off guard. It did something in her heart. When she heard the voice of the Lord, she knew this was God speaking. Oh, yeah, and just a side thought, we were discussing these things in one of our prayer meetings 3 or 4 weeks ago. And I believe it was Mary Carroll said, she pointed out that the creation happened that way. Whenever God said something, something happened. He said, let there be light. There was light. Because when he speaks, things happen. Hallelujah. Thank you for that, Mary Carroll. I like that. Praise God. And so, when he speaks, things happen. And so, that's what we need. We need to hear the voice of the Lord speak to us. Ooh, it's getting weird now. Now, don't let the secular world hear this. Anyway, they wouldn't understand it anyhow. That's what we need. We need to hear the voice of the Lord speak to us. And things will happen because faith will come and grace will be released to heal us, to provide for us, to give us whatever we need as we hearken to the voice of the Lord through hearing His Word. And so let me get back to the message I was teaching, which was, it started out as a message about being healed by listening to healing scriptures. Then it became about receiving whatever God has promised us through hearing His Word on the subject. In other words, if something else you need, like you need peace of mind, freedom from anxiety, you need grace in your life, you need provision in your life, there are scriptures for that, and if we soak ourselves in them, immerse ourselves in them, then we can receive what those things, because God will speak things to us as we listen. That's the only time I really hear the voice of the Lord is when I'm studying the scriptures. Now, that may seem to be a little too far-fetched for some folks. I don't know. But it's not for me. It really makes perfect sense when you stop and think about it. How else is the Lord going to speak to us if not through His Word? Oh, well, I know. And maybe an angel will come to us. It happened to Paul, right? Okay. Well, maybe by some random thought that zips through our mind. Now, the Lord does speak. The devil speaks to us through our thoughts. And the Lord speaks through our thoughts. But let me say something about that. If He can speak to us through some random thought we have, then how is it that He couldn't speak to us through His Word that we have recorded? Maybe some prophetic word given by some imperfect person who only knows in part and prophesies in part. Is that the way we're going to hear the voice of the Lord? Through a prophet? See, there are all ways, and He does speak to us in those ways. You can find biblical examples of Him speaking to people those ways. Maybe He does do that. But I'm perfectly comfortable hearing what God has to say to me by hearkening diligently unto His Word. I trust that. Peter says we have a more sure word of prophecy than when we heard His voice come out of heaven and say, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye Him." We have a more sure word of prophecy than that you do good to take heed as a light shining in the darkness until the light dawn, until the day star arise in your heart. He's talking about the sure word of the recorded scriptures. Anyway, believe what you want to on it. I don't know. You know, I mean, I'm all for prophecy. I love prophecy. But I don't wait to hear somebody speak a prophecy to me to hear what God wants. I go to the Word of God and I listen to God tell me something. You know, you're going to get in trouble if you're always looking for a word for your life. I just got to have a word. I just got to have a word. Oh, God, please give me a word. Anyway, okay, praise God. A different dimension of hearing. That's what I titled this section right here. Because remember, we're talking about hearing the voice of the Lord through listening to recorded scriptures on various subjects. Okay, to make it perfectly clear what I'm talking about when I say my message was about this. A different dimension of hearing. Now listen to me, hear me on this. One of the things that occurred to me as I continued to think about this is that what I'm talking about is a different dimension of hearing the Word of God, different than what we're accustomed to. It's different than what we're accustomed to. And what do I mean by that? Well, what are the ways we generally hear the Word of God? How does the Word of God come to us? Where do we receive it from? Well, possibly we might open our Bible every once in a while and read a little of it. Okay, thank you, God. Praise God. Hopefully we do read the Bible. That's one way you receive the Word of God, by reading the Bible, okay? And then some people are very daring, and they'll set up a thing to read the whole Bible in a year. Any of y'all ever done that? I made it about a third of the way through, I think. You get into Leviticus and some of those places like that, it's like, oh, yeah, you speed read. Just got to turn the pages. Okay, I got it.
I saw the words.
Right, I know they're there. I did look at the page, if that helps. Anyway, I go to bed, you know, with sleeping on it.
They
wait. I suppose, yeah, not much meditation therein. Anyway. Or maybe we read Christian books. A lot of people love to read Christian books. Read the revelation that some Christian had about the Word of God. And that's informative. That's a good way to hear somebody's revelation of the Word. Of course, we hear the Word shared and taught, teached and preached. Taught and prought. Teached and preached. Preached and teached every Sunday. So that's one of the main ways we hear the Word of God. We will hear it being taught at church. Or we might listen to TV preachers, or we might get recordings of preachers we like, preaching words we like to hear. And, you know, back in the day, instead of bookworms, we had tapeworms back in the cassette tape day. We were tapeworms. I had cassettes on top of cassettes. I can't tell you how many we thrown away. But that's a great way to hear the Word. And some like to meditate in the Bible. I've talked about that a lot. I like to do that in the morning, get up, have a cup of coffee, and I'm waking up, meditate, find a scripture, ponder it, look up the Greek words, look up the Hebrew words, and then kind of look at it a little bit closer, figure out what it says. That's one of my favorite ways to receive the Word. And maybe there are other ways. That's all I could think of as I was thinking about it, how we receive the Word. But I'll have to say that the idea of finding recordings of scripture verses on a particular subject and then just sitting and listening to them, immersing myself in them, soaking in them, you might say, that's new to me. I know it's been around a long time, but it's new to me. I never did that before. How many in here have done that before? Okay, three or four, two or three maybe. You've done that, so praise God. See, you should have told me about it. What's wrong with you?
It's amazing what pops up when you're doing it. You may be listening, and then all of a sudden you hear one phrase, and then the Holy Spirit.
See, there's the voice of the Lord aspect of it. You're going along. In fact, I wrote down a few of them this morning. I was listening to it, and every time something quickened to me, I wrote it down, what the Lord showed me. For example, I saw a scripture where in Deuteronomy it says, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that you may live and your seed in the land that the Lord thy God giveth thee. How did the Lord set life and death and blessing and cursing before them? Through the word that he gave Moses. This is how he set life and death, blessing and cursing before us. Therefore choose life. It's your choice. You choose it. I set before you life and death, blessing. You choose life, please. Hallelujah. Amen. So this is new to me, and I've studied the Bible 44 years now. Others have done it, but it's new to me. Now, that's what I mean when I say it's a different dimension of hearing the Word. It's a distinctly unique approach than what I'm used to. And I think than what most of us are used to. And when you think about it, it's actually a very distinctively modern way of hearing the Bible, because the ability to record the human voice hasn't been around all that long. They developed it back in the last century, in the 50s and 60s, with the rock and roll. Well, I mean, they had it before that, but it was highly developed, recording the human voice, recording sounds. That's something that's the late 1800s. Thomas Edison tinkered with that and was able to do it, and then it progressed from there. But that was back in the 40s and 50s when they really tweaked it, you know. Technologies like electric power. See these lights on in here? Sound recording, photography, motion pictures, television, computers, cell phones, the internet. I don't know if I left anything out. Automobiles. All the technology we have is only come in at about the last 100 years. But how long have men been on the planet? We know at least 5,000 or 6,000 from the Bible, but some people say it's 10 million. I don't know. I don't really care, to tell you the truth. It's not relevant to me how long men have been on the earth, because I'm living right now. I'm not living back there when whoever was. Just a thought. It doesn't make a difference to me whether it's been 5,000 years or 10 billion. It makes no difference to me, is all I'm saying. What if we had some of these things back in the day of Jesus' ministry? You know, we might have had footage, you know, of him healing the multitudes, you know, and calming the sea, walking on water maybe. We could have caught that on, look at that, man's walking on water. Yeah, TikTok. Have it on TikTok on a short. Man walks on water. Praise God.
Is it real or fake?
Yeah, is it real? Has it been photoshopped or whatever the case may be?
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah.
It's an absolute impossibility to be fake that
day. Exactly. They thought they saw a ghost. Exactly. They thought they saw. There's no faking it back in those days. See, we might have him calming the sea, or maybe walking through the wall to talk with his disciples after the resurrection. They had a camera. Look, it came right through the wall. Did you see? Yeah, I caught it on film. We'd know exactly what Jesus looked like. You know how he dressed? How long his hair really was or wasn't? I don't know. We'd have found all that stuff out. But remember, Jesus said to Thomas, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." We'd probably have a hard time believing if we saw it all, you know, at a movie or something. That's just a movie. In any case, we have technologies available to us today that mankind has not enjoyed until very recent years. So then, we're privileged to have access to the Bible being read to us by another human being. That's a privilege that people didn't have unless you had a good friend who would come read to you. Anyway, praise God. There you go. That's the other part. Not everybody knew how to read. See, education is one of those things that's really come in the last 100, 200 years. they told about their history through songs and passed down stories, you know. And that's how they transferred from one generation to another.
And
it's still valid, of course. Thing, I mean, we wouldn't have it if it hadn't been for that.
People remember stories about real things better than they can just read.
Praise God! There you go, brother. I appreciate you sharing that, because that supports my next point.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
It does. Thank you. We love stories. Human beings love stories. That's what movies are based on. You know, television, all that. Because we get to view a story. We get to receive a story. Did you ever notice that children love to be read to by their parents?
Yeah.
I mean, it's really obvious when you think about it. They love a bedtime story. Why? Because it gives them a chance to let their imaginations connect to what's being read to them. Yeah, yeah. And, of course, they'll believe anything you tell them until they get big enough to where they find out that doesn't work too good. Anyway, it gives them a chance to connect their imaginations. Someone else is doing all the work for them. All I got to do is sit here and just listen to the story, close my eyes. It's so much fun. They just sit and let their minds take in what they're hearing. And kids love that. They do. And you know, when it comes right down to it, we're all still children, praise God, in grown-up bodies. We still like that. We still love that. We still love stories. We'll read them in books. We'll watch them on TV. We'll see them at the movie. We'll write them. It's because we love them. You see, we know a lot more now, and we're more confident in ourselves than we were when we were children. And we're more in control of our lives than we were as children. But the child is still inside of us. We're still the same person, although we're not a little child now. We're a grown-up child. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, we find that out sometimes when things get tough, when we get overwhelmed by life. You know, when it comes to matters of the heart, when we feel hurt or betrayed, we may even cry about it, like a little child. We may even get emotional and act childish about things at times. When it comes to eternal things like passing from this life to the next life, we might as well admit it, we're all still very much children on the inside. Now, thank God Jesus delivered us from the fear of death. Hallelujah. But at that moment, you're a child, you know. Somebody once said there's no such thing as a dying atheist. That's because all the facades come down at that time and we face eternity as a child. Most atheists will say, maybe I'll rethink this thing about that time. Galatians 3:26 says, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." Not the grown-ups of God, the children of God. We are all God's children. Now, would it seem overly strange that we might enjoy having our Heavenly Father's Word read to us? Is that really a strange concept? Because there's still a child within us that likes that. Wouldn't we as His children, as the child within us, enjoy that? Certainly we would enjoy it just like a child loves being read to. And just like that child, wouldn't we get that warm, fuzzy feeling as we listened? Of course we would. Can you see why I say it's a different dimension of hearing the Word? We're not intellectually and academically dissecting the Word, looking for all the hidden meanings, like the serious Bible students that we are. Amen. Praise God. We're just hearing what's being said to us. We're just listening and soaking it in. There is a freedom in it. That's exactly right. We're totally free to listen.
Don't
have an
agenda necessarily, but you just listen.
Don't have to do it this way. We're not trying to be hermeneutically and homiletically correct.
Yeah, and I do that sometimes, but sometimes it's not profitable.
Well, you know, it may not always be every single time, but we're just listening to the words of our Heavenly Father, which are recorded right here in this book. Did you know that God is not impressed with how smart we are?
Because He's smarter.
How intellectual? He's more intellectual. How scholastic? He's more scholastic. Praise God.
But He does things that are not intellectual or logical.
That's true. Because He's past finding out, I guess. What is He impressed by?
Faith.
He's impressed by faith. The answer I had right here is that He's impressed by how childlike we are. I've got a scripture here, Matthew 18:3. Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." What I'm talking about here is one of the most childlike ways of approaching the Word of our Heavenly Father. Like I say, it's new to me. That's why I'm going on and on about it. We don't have to be anything in His presence but His children. We don't have to do anything. We're not trying to analyze what we're hearing. We don't have to know anything. We just need to listen to Him as we hear His Word. That's so easy and liberating, just what Tim said. It is liberating. It sets you free from a lot of things. That's why I said earlier that it's so simple that we might be tempted just to dismiss it out of hand. I had nothing to that. Too simple. Well, it's possible that we might sometimes overcomplicate things. Just a possibility.
Just a little bit.
Is that possible? I believe it is.
Yeah, especially me.
Yeah. Well, brother, I'm not a Bible scholar. I'm not a theologian. I don't get things out of the Word like you do. Really? Okay.
How much have you tried?
Well, let me tell you something about that. The Bible was not written for Bible scholars and theologians.
Nope. Peter wasn't.
Oh, we're getting to that one too, brother. You're way ahead of me, man. I like that. That's okay. That's okay. That's perfect. I'm glad. See, the Bible was not written for theologians and Bible scholars. It was written for everyday, ordinary folks like us. Well, I can't understand the Bible. Stop saying that. Isaiah 35:8 says that, "And a highway shall be there in the wilderness." Talking about the way of Christ.
That's right.
"And a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it." Just redeem people, praise God. "But it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein." You see, we could be fools in the eyes of the world and still be quite successful in walking with God.
Amen.
He's not looking for smart people, praise God. And if even a fool can walk successfully on God's highway of holiness, then it evidently does not take great intellectual and scholastic ability to understand the Word of God if a fool can clearly understand it. I'm thankful that a fool can understand it. That gives me hope. But this idea that only the elite ones can understand the things of God has always been in religion. The Pharisees were that way. This is what Tim was referring to a minute ago. Acts 4:13 says, "Now when they," the Pharisees, "saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men." Unlearned and ignorant men. See, these men are not educated like us. They're unlearned and ignorant. I'm getting to that, brother. I'm getting to it. It says they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. See, even the apostles of Jesus were considered to be ignorant and unlearned men in the sight of the great religious scholars of their day. But what could be clearly seen in them was that they had been with Jesus. And they were doing the works of Jesus. That's what got them in trouble in the first place. They were before the Sanhedrin because they healed a man who had been lame since birth. Now he was walking, leaping, dancing, and praising God. They healed somebody. So the point here is we don't need to be religious scholars or theologians to hear and receive and benefit from the Word of God. It was written for everyday folks. Psalm 119:130. One of the scriptures I like. And we do have it, yeah. "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto" who? The simple. Praise God. Who does the Word of God give light and understanding to? To the simple. To the naive. To the foolish.
I got hope.
That means I qualify. Praise God. And Brother Tim does too. Every one of us qualifies to receive from His Word. So stop saying, "I can't understand the Bible, it's just too deep for me." No, if we can hear it, we can understand it. God will speak to us through it. This is the marvelous revelation that I've discovered. If I will simply take time to hear the Word, then God will begin to speak to me. And I can have that happen every day if I want it. "The entrance of His words giveth light to the simple." But when we listen to recorded scripture verses, the word is not being expounded upon. We're just listening to what's being said. Face value. And when you think about it, isn't that really more the way that we talk to each other? Excuse me. That's the way we talk to each other. If I say something to you, I don't generally break down all the words and say, this word means this and this word means that, and here's a few nuances of it. You'd look back and go, what in the world is he talking about? Why don't you just talk to me, you know? I can understand English. It'd be ridiculous to do that. No, we just listen. We take it at face value. This is the way we receive the Word of God as the voice of the Lord. We take the scripture verses being read to us. Well, I meant to have some water up here, but I guess I didn't. Excuse me. Yeah, see, if you say something to me, I don't break it down. Break it down for me, brother. Break it down. This is the way we receive the Word of God as the voice of the Lord. We take the scripture verse being read to us as God speaking to us in simple terms. We don't need to be homiletically and hermeneutically correct. And that's one of the most powerful ways of hearing the Word of God. See, the words go directly to our spirit because we're not intellectually dissecting them, trying to dig out the deep hidden meaning of the types and shadows. Back in the early days of MCF, we were all about types and shadows. I mean, nothing in the Bible meant literally what it says.
Oh, this is a type of that, and that's a type of that, and this type, and this is a shadow of that. The Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. And see, we had to reveal all those hidden secrets.
And it's a viable way of doing it. It was Paul who said that Hagar represented the old covenant and Sarah represented the new covenant. So where'd you get that at? You know. But he was talking about there were types. Okay. Hope you didn't go on.
We overcomplicate
things. Now, for example, if I'm sick and maybe a little fearful and apprehensive about what might happen, and I'm listening to some healing scriptures, and this verse comes up, Isaiah 41:10, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." I don't need to analyze that when I hear it. I don't need to find the hidden meanings. I just listen to what it says. I just need to hear it. And my spirit will reach out and take hold of it. Yes, God, you will strengthen me. You will uphold me. I will fear not, for you are with me. You are my God. See, I don't need to analyze it. My spirit reaches out and I feel comforted. Yes, God, thank you. You're going to bring me through this. Thank you, God. Thank you. And you listen to about 50 of those. And the next thing you know, you're, praise God. God's going to heal me. Man, I feel better already. Hallelujah. Next thing you know, where'd the sickness go? It left. And so before we close, I think I've harped on this quite a bit, maybe enough, hopefully, but anyway, we'll see. The Lord may have me harp on it some more. I don't know. I want to give us a short demonstration of what I'm talking about. I have a recording of scripture verses on the subject of peace of mind. It's called Peace of Mind, Audio Bible Scriptures to Harp, Set to Harp. You know how harps sound. Not like I just made them sound, but anyway, and you can find it on YouTube. It's the author is a user named with the name Simply Mishmish, M-I-C-H-M-I-C-H. She's a South African lady with a very strong British accent. They have that in South Africa. So I want us to listen to several minutes of that before we close and just get an idea of what I'm talking about. I think it'll bless us as we listen.
John 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you, My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. John 16, verse 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Philippians 4, verse 6 to 7. Be careful for nothing, but with everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Psalm 29, verse 11. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace.
Amen. Amen. Did you get anything out of that? Just a little bit of wow. Praise God. I listened to that this morning, and I listened to maybe another one for a while. You'll find that as you do this, you become full of the Word. You become full. They'll be in your mind, in your heart. Those scriptures will come to mind later. Oh, yeah, the Lord heard the scripture about this the other day. And isn't that really what we're supposed to do, is have the Word of God in our heart? You know, let the Word of God, Word of Christ, dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Amen. Well, praise God. Well, hallelujah.